A disgrace to the profession. The world scientists, in their own words, on Michael E. Mann, his hockey stick, and their damage to science. Volume 1. Compiled and edited by Mark Stein. Illustrated by Josh. Narrated by Melissa Howes. Published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved. Part 17. Scientist number 99. Quote, Mann, Ehrlich, and Ramsdorf. What a scurrilous bunch. They're gravediggers of science. Closed quote. Daniel S. Greenberg, founder of Science and Government Report and former news editor of Science, the Journal of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Former visiting scholar at Johns Hopkins University's Department of History of Science, Medicine, and Technology. Former columnist for The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine. Recipient of the Columbia University Medal for Excellence. Creator of the fictional character Dr. Grant Swinger, director of the Center for the Absorption of Federal Funds. Mark. In 2010, Mr. Greenberg was one of the most respected science writers, was invited to review a book for one of the most respected journals, Nature. Unfortunately, the author was one of Mann's many enemies, and Greenberg was insufficiently hostile to it. So Mann, Paul Ehrlich, and Stefan Ramsdorf felt obliged to remind Nature just who was boss. Quote, in our view, Daniel Greenberg's book review of The Climate Fix by Roger Pilkey Jr., Nature, 467, 526 to 527, 2010, does a disservice to your readership by besmirching the integrity of the climate research community. Close quote. Mark. Interesting. Care to elaborate? Well, no. Time to move on to the old hashtag Coke machine, hashtag big oil, guilt by association shtick. Quote, Nature should have pointed out to its readers that Greenberg has served as a roundtable speaker and written a report for the Marshall Institute. Close quote. Oh my. As Mr. Greenberg subsequently wrote to Professor Pilkey, quote, Roger, re my stirring experience of jousting with Mann, Ehrlich, and Ramsdorf. What a scurrilous bunch. My sympathy to you and anyone else who has to deal with them. They're gravediggers of science. Below my further exchanges with the low-life trio. Close quote. The further exchanges with the low-life trio concluded thus. Quote, Dear Professors Mann, Ehrlich, and Ramsdorf, your correspondence concerning my review of Roger Pilkey's book, Climate Fix, has provided me with a deeper understanding of the widespread public skepticism toward climate science. In your hands, apple pie and motherhood would come under public suspicion. Furthermore, your insinuation of an undisclosed relationship between me and a conservative think tank is preposterous. In 2006, I participated in a panel discussion sponsored by the Marshall Institute, as I have done with numerous other organizations. Nor did I, as you allege, write a report or anything for the Marshall Institute. The panel's words were transcribed and published by the Institute. I wrote nothing for them. You guys are the devil's gift to the Tea Party and other climate change wackos. Sincerely, Dan Greenberg. Close quote. Mark, as you can deduce from that last line, Mr. Greenberg is an unlikely member of the, quote, denial machine. But it matters not to man. No deviancy will be permitted. 100% compliance, or else. Scientist number 100. Quote, I would never have expected anything similar in such a peaceful community as meteorology. Apparently, it has been transformed. Closed quote. Professor Leonard Bengston, Ph.D., Senior Research Fellow at the Environmental Systems Science Center of the University of Reading, recipient of the IMO Prize from the World Meteorological Organization and of the René Descartes Prize for Collaborative Research from the Nansen Environmental and Remote Sensing Center, former director of the Max Planck Institute for Meteorology and of the European Center for Medium-Range Weather Forecasts. Mark, In May 2014, Professor Bengston, a man whose contributions to science far outweigh Michael Mann's, revealed that he was joining the advisory board of the Global Warming Policy Foundation, a think tank for national skepticism founded in London by Nigel Lawson. Retribution from the quote-unquote climate community was swift and merciless. Less than 2 weeks later, the 79-year-old Swedish scientist announced, quote, "I have been put under such an enormous group pressure in recent days from all over the world that has become virtually unbearable to me. If this is going to continue, I will be unable to conduct my normal work and will even start to worry about my health and safety. I see, therefore, no other way out than resigning from GWPF. I had not expected such an enormous worldwide pressure put at me from a community that I have been close to all my active life. Colleagues are withdrawing their support. Other colleagues are withdrawing from joint authorship. I see no limit and end to what will happen. It is a situation that reminds me about the time of McCarthy. I would never have expected anything similar in such an original, peaceful community as meteorology. Apparently, it has been transformed in recent years. Under this situation, I will be unable to contribute positively to the work of GWPF, and consequently, therefore, I believe it is the best for me to reverse my decision to join its board at the earliest possible time." Close quote. Mark, it has. For one thing, it's not meteorology anymore. It's about saving the planet, and you can't do that without breaking a few eggheads. After the Times of London ran a front-page story on Bengston's defenestration, Mann sneeringly tweeted, quote, "Real story via Nafees Ahmad. Murdoch-owned media hypes lone meteorologist climate junk science. Hashtag denial." Close quote. Mark. So to Michael Mann, Leonard Bengston is now junk science. Over the years, the two of them have collaborated on scientific conferences. But a half century of distinguished service to climate science, the directorships, the prizes, all the peer-reviewed papers, the shared platforms with the great Dr. Mann, is swept into the garbage can of history, and Bengston is now just another denier peddling junk science. Chapter 11, Manhole, Stuck with the Stick. Quote, "A model is such a fascinating toy that you fall in love with your creation. Every model has to be compared to the real world, and if you can't do that, then don't believe the model." Close quote. Professor Freeman Dyson, Climate Disasters, Safe Nukes, and Other Myths, 2009. Here's Mark. In 2010, Michael E. Mann gave an interview to the BBC, which Britain's Daily Telegraph reported under an hilarious headline. "Michael Mann says hockey stick should not have become climate change icon." Professor J. Houston McCullough of Ohio State University couldn't resist commenting, quote, "Let's see, who was lead author of the TAR chapter on paleoclimate that iconized Mann's hockey stick? Wasn't it the same Michael Mann?" Close quote. Indeed it was. Fancy that! As Professor John Christie explained, as an IPCC lead author, Mann sat in judgment on what work would make it into his chapter and chose to promote his own result and exclude studies that contradicted his. That was his decision as lead author. But Mann has prospered in the years since thanks to an impressive ability to say whatever he needs to get him through the moment, no matter how ridiculous. As the Telegraph reported, quote, "Speaking to the BBC recently, Professor Mann, a climatologist at Pennsylvania State University, said he had always made clear there were, quote-unquote, uncertainties in his work. I always thought it was somewhat misplaced to make it a central icon of the climate change debate," he said. Close quote. As Professor McCullough might say, let's see, would this Michael Mann suddenly going on about uncertainties be the same Michael Mann who declared with respect to Keith Briffa's post-1960 tree ring decline, quote, "I don't think that doubt is scientifically justified, and I'd hate to be the one to give it fodder." Close quote. No room for uncertainties there. Mann's priority was that the skeptics should not have a potential detraction from the reasonable consensus viewpoint we'd like to show. The point of the hockey stick is it communicates more certainty, more simply than anything else. It is not technically a climate model in that it does not attempt to project its trend line into the future, but as a practical matter, it functions as a climate model. Its use to the IPCC and Al Gore is that the temperature line disappearing out the top right-hand corner of the graph and through the ceiling prompts the reaction, "Holy cow, the whole powder keg's about to blow. We got to do something." It enabled the climate establishment to promote the subtle, nuanced, and highly scientific line, "Give us all your money or the planet's going to fry." But the planet didn't fry. The powder keg didn't blow. Instead, from the very moment man joined the global warming A-listers, the actual real-world temperature flatlined, and his hockey stick got the worst case of bruised droop since records began. By 2015, big climate had a far worse, quote-unquote, divergence problem than those tree rings. Reality had diverged from the models. The climate had declined to follow instructions. And that's a decline that's far harder to hide. With a couple of Quebecois trees, man could determine the entire meteorological course for hemispheres and half centuries. If only the real, actual third millennium had been as compliant as its predecessor. In that sense, the hockey stick is the ultimate climate model. It became the model for climate science in the 21st century. It showed that keeping it simple and abolishing uncertainty worked. It worked for Al Gore, it worked for Rajendra Pachuro, it worked for the IPCC. But it didn't work for science. Even the end is nigh has to be replicable if it purports to be science. As the blogger Iowa Hawk tweeted, quote, "Do all scientists keep their data and programs locked inside a booby-trapped Ark of the Covenant? Or is that just a climate science thing?" Close quote. Mark. If you read between the lines, many, many climate scientists understand that man's hockey stick has corrupted almost everything it touched, starting with the journal Nature, which has been damaged by its publication of man and by its refusal to acknowledge its error by publishing the short comment McIntyre and McKittrick submitted, the broader world of peer review, which was exposed as a joke and a racket, the IPCC, which catapulted the hockey stick to global celebrity, the school science teachers who inflicted this cartoon on their young charges, the Climatic Research Unit, founded by a truly great climatologist, Hubert Lam, whose life work his successors trashed, and from within a building named after him in order to hitch themselves to man's coattails. But climbing off the hockey stick was easier said than done. Scientist number 101, quote, "I am particularly unimpressed by the MBH style of shouting louder and longer, so they must be right," close quote. Referee for Nature. The British publication Nature vies with its American cousin Science for the title of the world's most prestigious scientific journal. According to Journal Citation Reports in 2010, it was the most cited scientific journal on the planet. In 1998, it published the very first hockey stick by Mann, Bradley, and Hughes. Mark. In publishing the original hockey stick, Nature fell for a hoax, much as Rolling Stone did with their 2014 University of Virginia gang rape story, which turned out to have a lack of gang and a lack of rape. Likewise, man's proxy reconstruction was deficient in both proxies and reconstruction. With Nature, as with Rolling Stone, the story was, as they say, too good to check. Rolling Stone eventually came clean to its readers. Nature never has. In 2004, McIntyre and McKittrick submitted a short article to the journal pointing out errors in man's hockey stick. Here is the response of Nature's referee, number one. Quote, "I find merit in the arguments of both protagonists, though Mann et al., MBH, is much more difficult to read than McIntyre and McKittrick. Their explanations are, at least superficially, less clear, and they cram too many things onto the same diagram, so I find it harder to judge whether I agree with them. I am uneasy about applying a standardization based on a small segment of the series to the whole series, if that is what is being done." Referee number two said, "The technical criticisms raised by McIntyre and McKittrick concerning the temperature reconstructions by Mann et al., MBH 98, and the reply to this criticism by Mann et al., is quite difficult to evaluate in a short period of time, since they are aimed at particular technical points of the statistical methods used by man et al. A proper evaluation would require to redo most of the calculations presented in both manuscripts, something which is obviously out of reach in 2 weeks' time. Therefore, my comments are based on my impression of the consistency of the results presented. In general terms, found the criticisms raised by McIntyre and McKittrick worthy of being taken seriously. They have made an in-depth analysis of the MBH reconstructions, and they have found several technical errors that are only partially addressed in the reply by Mann et al. And finally, referee number 3, quote, "Generally, I believe that the technical issues addressed in the comment and the reply are quite difficult to understand and not necessarily of interest to the wide readership of the brief communication section of Nature. I do not see a way to make this communication much clearer, particularly with the space requirements, as this comment is largely related to technical details." Close quote. Mark: a lot of damage to climate science could have been avoided had Nature behaved with even the grudging residual integrity of Rolling Stone. But the third referee prevailed over the other two, and so the stain on Nature's reputation and long distinguished history remains. Scientist number 102, quote, "Very few paleoclimatologists agreed to the shape of the curve." Close quote. Professor Per Holmlund, PhD, professor of glaciology at Stockholm University, member of the National Committee of Geophysics at the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences, and of the International Meteorological Institute. Former director of Tarfala Research Station and member of many expeditions to the Arctic and Antarctic, Swedish member of the World Glacier Monitoring Service, the International Arctic Science Committee, the Scientific Committee for Antarctic Research, etc. Mark: eventually, Mann was forced to issue corrections to the two MBH papers in successive months in June 2004 in Geophysical Research Letters and in July 2004 in Nature. If the correction does, quote, "not contradict the original publication," close quote, Nature's policy is to publish it as an, quote unquote, addendum. But, quote, "if the scientific accuracy or reproducibility of the original paper is compromised," close quote, only a corrigendum can be published. Both of the above were corrigenda. Yet Mann refused to accept the plain meaning of that word. In 2005, Professor Marcel Leroux wrote, quote, "after describing their errors, they still considered," 2004, "that none of these errors affected our previously published results." The corrigenda issued by Mann et al. Are a clear admission that the disclosure of data and methods was materially inaccurate. Close quote. Mark: at the IPCC, there would not be even a corrigendum. Many serious paleoclimatologists were astonished by Mann's hockey stick and then appalled at its adoption by the IPCC for the third assessment report. For the fourth assessment report, they attempted to restore some sanity. Reviewing the second-order draft, Professor Holmlund wrote, quote, "this remark concerns the handling of the Mann hockey stick. When Mann et al. Presented their hockey stick 6 to 7 years ago, they formatted paleo data in such a way that climate modelers could use it. But very few paleoclimatologists agreed to the shape of the curve, and nowadays we have much better data to use. It is therefore natural to describe the Mann curve in a history of science perspective, but not as a valid data set. A good example of a good modern curve is the one presented by Moberg et al. It has at least the variation seen in almost all paleoclimate records for the past millennia. In the present IPCC text, the view described is that we have the hockey stick, and then later some scientists have raised critical voices. The basic meaning is that the hockey stick is still the number one description of the past millennia. This is not flattering, and it certainly miscredits the report. I believe that it is rather easy to go through the 5 pages and update the spirit of the text and perhaps make some adjustments in the figure captions." Close quote. Mark: but Mann's hockey team were still running the show, and any suggestion that the IPCC acknowledge valid criticisms of the stick met with rejection. Professor Holmland received the following response. Quote, rejected. The Mann et al. Curve is included for consistency and to maintain a historical context for the current state of the art. Close quote. In other words, we bought this thing, and we're sticking with it. Scientist number 103, quote, I know that this is a sensitive issue. Close quote. Professor Jan Esper, Ph.D., professor and head of unit at Gutenberg University's Department of Geography, head of dendrosciences at the Forest, Snow, and Landscape Division of the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, author of peer-reviewed papers published in Nature, the Journal of Hydrometeorology, Geophysical Research Letters, the Journal of Climate, and many more. Mark. In the comments to the first order draft of the IPCC Fourth Assessment, Professor Esper tried to suggest, ever so delicately, that this might be an appropriate occasion to be just a wee bit more forthcoming about relying on a couple of Californian bristlecones to divine the temperature of entire hemispheres. Quote, I do believe that with this IPCC report, it would be useful to be a bit more precise and say that tree ring data dominate the Mann et al. 1999 record, at least during the first half of the last millennium, and that the low-frequency component is heavily weighted toward the bristlecone pine data from southwest USA, as originally stated by MBH 99. I know that this is a sensitive issue, but clearly stating this information seems much better than just saying that the record is, quote, based on a range of proxy types, close quote. Some counts of the number of proxy types and locations integrated in MBH 99 and some other records were recently published. Esper et al. 2004, EOS 85. That could be cited, if necessary. Further, given the dominance of tree ring data in the earlier portion of MBH 99, the reconstruction, as most others, is certainly weighted towards warm season temperatures back in time. Although this point should perhaps be emphasized, given the heated discussion on this reconstruction. Close quote. Mark. But the IPCC was not yet ready to disown its biggest hit. The hockey stick success had made it the model for all models, to the point that there was a not-so-subtle pressure to find other hockey sticks in other climate areas. It was such a simple, graspable snapshot, so why confine it only to temperature? As Dr. Nils Axel Mörner, former head of Stockholm University's Department of Paleogeophysics and Geodynamics, and former chairman of the International Union for Quaternary Research's Commission on Sea Level Changes and Coastal Evolution, wrote in London Spectator in 2011, quote, in 2003, the satellite altimetry record was mysteriously tilted upwards to imply a sudden sea level rise rate of 2.3 millimeter per year. When I criticized this dishonest adjustment at a global warming conference in Moscow, a British member of the IPCC delegation admitted in public the reason for this new calibration. We had to do so, otherwise there would be no trend. This is a scandal that should be called sea level gate. As with the hockey stick, there is little real-world data to support the upward tilt. Close quote. Mark. The transnational serpents had been tempted by man and were disinclined to go back. Scientist number 104. Quote, I would rather that the whole hockey stick debate were de-emphasized. Close quote. Dr. Taz Van Almen, Ph.D., Principal Research Scientist for Ice Cores and Climate in the Australia Antarctic Division of the Department of the Environment. Lead Investigator in the Ice Cap Airborne Geophysical Survey covering East Antarctica. Australian Representative on the International Partnerships in Ice Core Sciences Steering Committee. Secretary of the Standing Scientific Group on Physical Sciences at the Scientific Committee on Antarctic Research. member of the Australian Academy of Science National Committee for Earth System Science, IPCC contributing author. Mark. In a sense, Mann's graph had been too successful for the IPCC. The most popular and recognizable shorthand for global warming, it had taken off like a rocket, and climbing off the hockey stick was always going to be tricky. Nevertheless, by 2007, some scientists were willing to try. In a reviewer comment to the first order draft of the IPCC's fourth assessment report, Dr. Van Ommen expressed a preference for burying Mann's hockey stick in a footnote. Quote, "This has to be one of the most difficult sections of the chapter, because it so clearly attracts controversy. I would rather that the whole hockey stick debate were de-emphasized as something that belongs 5+ years ago and is superseded by more current studies. Is it possible to de-emphasize this paragraph and get away from this entirely? Footnote? Box?" Close quote. Mark. A decade on, the cost of defending the hockey stick was taking its toll on climate scientists. In his lectures, Dr. Richard Alley, a colleague of Mann's at Penn State, gave a hint of his frustration at the way one man's icon had swallowed whole his entire field. He relayed a conversation he claimed to have had with a congressional staffer. Quote, "The staff member who has the Congress people's ear says, 'I didn't take science in school. I don't know science. I don't like science. But you scientists are wrong. You don't know what you're talking about, okay?' And then says, 'Okay, I know that the basis for global warming is a hockey stick that's broken.'" Close quote. Dr. Alley tried to explain to the poor chap, quote, "The basis for global warming is physics. It's not hockey sticks. It's physics. You're basing global warming on a hockey stick." "No, we're not." Close quote. Mark. Film of Dr. Alley making this point very forcefully appears in a short internet video by Peter Sinclair called "Climate Denial Crock of the Week." Following Dr. Alley's calm explanation that the basis for global warming is physics, not that old broken hockey stick, Mr. Sinclair then popped back up to insist in the show's finale that Mann's hockey stick is so totally not broken. Dr. Alley must sometimes wonder why he bothers.